السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيد المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترون الجحيم ثم لترونها عين اليقين ثم لتسألن يومئذ عن النعيم صدق الله العظيم علماء الكرام most respected brothers we were discussing the meaning of Surah At-Takasur. I explained to you very briefly the meaning of some of the verses of this surah. Today we are going to discuss the last part of this surah. Of course, just to give you the gist again, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala mentions that mutual rivalry in the accumulation of the material things of this world, it diverts you until you visit the graves. There's a kind of a mutual rivalry which distracts us from the remembrance of the akhirat. The remembrance of the akhirat fades away in this competition for the accumulation and for the piling up of material things. Many a times I have mentioned and I repeat that dunya is not the name of gold, of silver, of a good home, good car, good clothes. That is not dunya. Dunya is when the person forgets the akhirat, he forgets the giver of these ni'mats and bounties, he forgets his salat, his zakat, his hajj, his ibadat, he forgets the rights of the poor, of the needy, of the widows, of the orphans. He forgets honesty, truthfulness. He forgets trustworthiness in his dealings. He forgets that what is the punishment for speaking lies. He forgets that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has declared that the signs of a munafiq are three, that when they speak lies. When they promise, they break their promises and pledges. And when they are entrusted, they betray the trust. Or when they enter into arguments, then they use abusive and vulgar language. They forget all those things in the accumulation of those material things. Then that becomes dunya. And that is the dunya that the Quran Sharif has cursed. That is the dunya that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has cursed. That is the dunya that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has cursed. If the dunya is wasila for the akhirat, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself has mentioned that that is the best of dunya, if it becomes the wasila of the akhirat. Good dunya in the hands of a good person is a very good thing. Ni'mal maal as-salih lir-rajul as-salih. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala here is talking about that dunya which distracts that person. Therefore in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala praises those people whose wealth does not cause a diversion, whose tijarat and business and trade does not cause a diversion. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ. So you can see Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is talking about praising those people. Nevertheless, we come back to Surah Kawthar, Takasur, that way, what is being condemned is that mutual rivalry which makes the person forget Allah Ta'ala and it distracts him. turns him away. So for such people, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives three warnings. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, soon you shall know. With certainty you shall know. Then when you will see the hellfire with aynul yaqeen, certainty of sight, you will come to know. And then finally Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that summa latus'alunna yawma izin anin na'im. Now that is an important thing that we should remember, that in this surah at the end of it Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says that on the day of Qiyamah you shall be questioned about those bounties, about those ni'mats that you have been given, you will be questioned. Now when we were discussing sabr and shukr, we did discuss to some extent what is shukr. But the Quran Sharif repeats these things many, many places. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam repeats it many times. So we too should listen to it repeatedly so that it becomes our hal and our condition. It doesn't remain just as accumulation of knowledge in our heads. It must become our hal and condition. It must be spontaneous. The person must not be then pushed on or encouraged or given long nasihats and waz to make amal. One time he has heard it, after that it must become his condition. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will question the people on the day of Qiyamah about the ni'mats, about the bounties. Now the meaning and the mafhum of that one hadith is well known in many, many bayans and in many, many waz. You hear and you listen to that hadith sharif where it is mentioned that a person will not be able to move from the planes of judgment until he is asked about his age, about his life, where did he spend his life. That life which was a gift of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, where did he spend it, how did he spend it? And then emphasis is placed on youth, that youth is part of the person's life. If the person's life was of 50 years or 60 years or 100 years, then there was a period of time which we may term as his youthful days. So emphasis is placed that he will be asked particularly where did he spend his youth. Therefore I mentioned to my young friends the other day, students of university and schools, told them that two things are extremely important when it comes to youth. If a person is on guard with regards to two things, then it will become easy for him to remain steadfast on Islam and on Deen. And if he is not particular about these two things, then he will go astray. It's very easy to go astray. One is the literature that he reads, and the other is the company that he keeps. These are the two things which are extremely important in the life of any young person. Most of those people who have gone astray, or those people who are now crying, they went too deep into drugs and into wine and into women and into all kinds of vices, and now they say that the temptation is too great, we want to come out but we do not know how to come out. If you have to analyze how did they get there, it were two things. Of course other factors are there too, but generally these two things, the company that they keep and the literature that they read. Give any young person, leave young person, give it to an old person. Filthy porn literature and filthy magazines, naked women, naked pictures, newspaper articles and magazine articles which are filthy and dirty, immoral. Of course for those people who don't believe in Allah Ta'ala and the Rasul and in the Akhirat and in Jannat and Jahannam, then there's nothing left immoral for them. There's nothing left immoral for them. But we are talking about those who believe in Jannat, Jahannam, in Akhirat, in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in Qiyamat, on the Day of Judgment, in life after death. Then for them it is such that if you have to give that person, if you have to give that person, whether he's a young person or old person, plenty of filthy literature, give him plenty of filthy movies to watch, video films, then see what is going to be the reaction. That person will forget his namaz, he will forget his tilawat, and if he is making some namaz, some tilawat by force of habit, then there will be absolutely no enjoyment, there will be no connection with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, there will be a darkness which has clouded the person's heart and mind, and there will be a restlessness that this person will not be able to explain why. So most of those young people, and as I said, that even the old people or anyone, if you are not going to be careful about two things, but particularly the youth, because in that hadith it has been mentioned that the person will be questioned about his life, where did he spend it, and his youth, the energy, the health, the strength, the vitality that he had in his body when he was a young person, at that time, where did he go? Which places did he frequent? How did he spend that health and that strength that we had given to him? He will be questioned about that. Now the person who believes in Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as Khatamun Nabiyyin and Muhammadur Rasulullah, and the person who believes that he is indeed after Allah the greatest, Ba'daz Qada Wuzruq Tuhi Qissa Mukhtasar, and he believes that whatever Nabi Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said is the truth and nothing but the truth, so then this young person has to show concern that where is my time being spent? The 24 hours that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has given me of the day, then where do I spend that time? If we have to take a stock, then the majority of them, the time is spent in the cinemas, in the theaters, in watching the television programs, in reading filthy magazines, or in useless idle chit-chat, nothing really constructive. And that is something that is of concern. So two things normally cause the young person to go astray. That is the literature and the company that the person keeps. If the person is going to remain in the company of a one that goes to the casinos, and he says that you mustn't gamble, you just come with me, you must just watch. A non-Muslim tells him, you come with me, or a Muslim who's going to the casino and frequenting, he says, you just come with me, you just watch, very nice. You can enjoy yourself, there's fun there, entertainment there. But because you do not gamble, it is haram, so therefore you must not gamble. Then believe me, within a few days you will find this person also becoming a gambler. Take the person to the cinemas, to the theaters, and take him to the prostitute quarters, and tell him that don't indulge in any haram. Within a few days he will be indulging in that same haram. So youth, the person will be questioned about his youth, where did he spend it? Many people, in fact, when they came out from their evils and from their vices and from their sins, but then just out of force of habit, or just for the fun of it and just for amusement, they took a glance again at what is being shown at the cinemas, or what is being shown on Mnet, Eastnet, Shaitan's net, on all the different webs, because either you get caught these days in some net or you get caught in some web. For the young people and for everyone, we have to be on guard, because they have said that these are nets. Allah Ta'ala makes them use the same word, that these are nets, either you will get caught in some net, and if you are not caught in a net, then these days there's plenty of webs. So either we will get caught in the web or we'll get caught in the net. We have to be very much on guard. And when we are going to get caught, then it's not going to be easy to come out. There are many who want to come out, but they cannot now. It's very difficult. It's gone too deep. So Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is going to question the person that where did he spend his youth? He will be questioned with regards to his income. How did he earn it and how did he spend it? The person will be questioned about his knowledge. What amal did he make on his knowledge? Now if we have these things before us, then it will keep us on guard, it will keep us on track, it will save us from deviating, from taking the path of shaitan and nafs, which will lead to the fire of Jahannam. Of course, all these things will require a little bit of effort, and that is what we are in this world for, to make that little effort. And then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala is promising us unlimited ni'mats in the akhirat, and even in this world, if we have to see, He is showering upon us so much of ni'mats in spite of our disobedience. So just imagine how much He will give to us if we have to be obedient to Him. The Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Alayhim Ajma'in, they were obedient to Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So great amount of tests came in their lives, but what was the end result of those tests? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave them the huge kingdoms. The Roman Empire, the Persian Empire, everything fell at their feet. And it will happen again one day when Imam Mahdi is going to come, and when there's going to be justice that is going to be established in the rule, and again the ni'mats of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will be in abundance, and a time will come when there will be nobody left on this earth who will be a disbeliever. Now we may doubt these type of things, that how can such a day again come? Well, the day will come. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran Sharif, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُوا أَمْثَالَكُمْ. If you are going to turn away, Allah ta'ala will change you for another people. They will take your place. It's not difficult for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to send one earthquake and take away millions of people. It's not difficult for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to destroy whole cities and whole country. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala can then give Islam and Iman to those who are enemies of Islam and Iman today. And this has happened in the past, so therefore we must not doubt these type of things, that it can happen and it will happen in the future again. For a period of time, after that again there will be kufr, until there will be so much of kufr that not one Muslim will be left in the world. Look at Allah ta'ala's system and qudrat. And all these things have been predicted and everything we can see is happening. Now if we say that how it is going to happen, then look at the time of the Sahaba, look at the time of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that when he returned from the cave of Hira, and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, to his wife Hazrat Khadija, at that time how many people were Muslims? There was nobody there. Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam was the only one. Besides Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who else was a Muslim there at that time? But then his invitation brought one, two, until finally we found the whole of Arabia, and then Islam began to spread, and then we say today we have more than 1 billion Muslims. So if that could have happened once, it can still happen again. But we have to be on guard that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is not our muhtaj. He is not in need of us. If we are going to make statements of kufr, and if we are going to find faults with Islam, and with Iman, and with Sharia, and with Deen, and we say that this is difficult to practice, namaz is difficult to make 5 times a day, how can we leave our businesses and make salat during at asr time? How can we make namaz Christmas day if it is a Jummah? How can we go to the masjids? And then if we have to look at the laws of the Quran Sharif, we do not find this to be very suitable and that to be very suitable. In one conference or one meeting where there were a large number of non-Muslims, priests and others, and government members, one so-called Muslim doctor, a doctorate in Islamic studies he had, and he stood up, and believe me, I'm in the masjid, I can't speak lies here. He stood up and he says that, gentlemen, I find it a problem going to the civilized community with the verse of the Quran Sharif which says, لِلذَّكَرِ مِثْلُ حَزِّ الْأُنْسَيَيْنِ. He finds it difficult to going to the civilized nations and telling them that for the male person, there is twice the share of the female when it comes to inheritance. How is he going to explain to them? Because here outwardly it seems that it's injustice, na'uzu billah. There is no fair play. There's no equity. There's no equality of the sexes. So he finds it difficult. And who he is? A doctorate. He holds a doctorate in Islamic studies. Now whatever we were supposed to say there, we had to leave that one side and now explain to the people that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is more than fair when he says that. Because it is our weakness. Why do we blame Islam for our weakness? If everybody practices Islam, then there will be no problem. All these liberation movements, the women's demands of bringing about a reformation and change in the Muslim personal law, it is because the husbands are not doing their share. They are not just, they are not fair, they are abusing, or they are not fulfilling their rights. So now they find fault in the Quran and in the Sunnah and in the Hadith Sharif. And on the other side, if the wives are not doing what they are supposed to do, they are not obeying the husbands, they are not fulfilling the rights of the husbands, and they have become independent and their minds have become corrupted because of the education that they have got or the plenty of earnings that they have, now the husbands begin to blame the Quran and the Sunnah for that. Na'uzubillah. Whereas in this issue itself, if only everybody practices on Islam, then you will understand how it is not only just but more than fair to the woman. Because Shariat hasn't placed any responsibility on the wife or on the woman or onto the daughter to go and earn a living. Yes, by force of circumstances, because the husband is poor or there is a is a handicap or there is some other genuine need and she has to support the husband, then that we will say it's an exception to the rule. We don't say that it doesn't happen, especially in our times. But where did it start off? When we said that cheap labor is woman labor. So therefore put all our women folk in the markets and in the bazaars and in the industries and everywhere. Now that person who would have worked and supported 5 or 6 children with his earnings, there is no place for him in any industry or any factory anymore. They say, sorry, there's no employment. Because his job has been taken up by that young girl who is working for no other reason but just to maintain a certain lifestyle. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's system is the perfect system, that there was no responsibility on the daughter at all to go and earn. When she was born, it was the duty of the father to take care of her. When she gets married, it becomes the duty of the husband to support her, give her home, give her food, give her clothing, look after her, give her even pocket expense, give her happiness and joy and satisfaction and make her the queen of the home. Or if she has to work, then she works from home or she works with the husband or with the father without coming into direct contact all the time with those people who are casting lustful and evil glances at her. Nevertheless, there was no responsibility on her. Now it was the husband's duty. Then she became a mother. Now it became the children's duty that if the mother is in need of assistance and help, then he must help her. Like that it goes on. And her savings, whatever she got as a child from her father, from her mother, from her uncles, from her relatives, as gifts, everything is her savings. No expenditure. After that, when she gets married, whatever she received as mehar, now the husband must give her mehar. The husband must provide everything. And he must give her gifts. Now all that is again her savings. It goes on like that. There's no time to go into the details. But when her father dies, she gets, as a daughter, she gets one share. The sons will get 2 shares. But she will get 1 share. So when the father dies, she is getting a share. When a son dies, she is getting a share. When the mother dies, she is getting a share. When her daughter dies, she is getting a share. Anybody in her relationships, uncles, grandfathers, if there is no father, there is no mother or something like that, and she is entitled to a share, then she gets those shares. All that becomes her savings. So she is getting from all sides, an expenditure nil. So if she gets 1 share, whereas this husband, he will have to give mehar, he will have to go and work and feed the children, he will have to take care of other needs and requirements of his parents sometimes and other things. So if he is getting twice and she is still getting 1 share, then we will say it is more than fair. But the fault is in us, it is not in Shariat, it is not in Deen. If we are not practicing it and we have put our daughters into the marketplaces and we have said that they must earn and support us, they must go and work and pay our rent, light, water bills, and we want to laze around at home. There are so many husbands who are lazy. It's not that they haven't got the ability to work. There are many of them who can work. But because their wives are earning, now they are using pressure and force that you go and bring the money. I have to buy my drugs. I have to buy my drink. And I have to womanize. Now the money is coming again from that poor wife. That poor wife is going to cook for him too. She's going to do the beds. She's going to do the washing. She is going to care for the children, and from the morning she has to go to the business and stand there till the evening, and we call that justice, and we call that civilization, and we call that what we term in these days as progress of society. This is the Western thinking which has paralyzed our thinking, because we have become so accustomed to it, it has become a norm of our society that our daughters have to work, our sisters have to work, our mothers have to work, our grandmothers have to work. One grandmother phones and tells me that, Maulana, I have to work whole day, I'm 75 years old, and I have to sit, my son is loafing around everywhere. He makes me sit in the shop and I must be the cashier. And if I say I do not want to come to the shop today because my knees are paining or I've got a pain in my stomach or back, then I must hear abusive language and he'll say, I'll throw you out of the house. What are we facing in our lives? And still we want to follow the West blindly. And we say that they are showing us the path to progress in life. progress is in nothing else but the teachings of Deen, the teachings of the Quran, the teachings of Sunnah and Sharia. Then we will find peace, we will find sukoon, we will find all kinds of happiness in our life. In the home there will be happiness, in the businesses there will be barakat, in the families there will be unity, in the societies there will be contentment and satisfaction and happiness and unity, and the nations also will then unite. At present there is absolutely no happiness anywhere. So it is all because we have forsaken the way of life shown to us by the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. I was going to discuss لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَيَزٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, but if this came away, by the way, inshallah it will be beneficial for me, for you, or for somebody else. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand that that is the only solution to our problems, to return to the Quran and the Sunnah, even though it may be difficult in the early stages. Because that person has already put his four daughters into the business, or five daughters into the marketplace. Now to bring them back and say that I am the father and Allah has given me millions, hundreds of thousands, I've got a good home, I've got a good business, I will support you all. You all do something from home. It's difficult. It's very difficult. That person, how is he going to tell those daughters now? Because they also got their independence. But that is the only solution. There is no other solution. Otherwise we'll have to cry tears of shame and tears of blood. My daughter is gone with this one and my daughter is gone with that one. And well, I don't know where my daughter is gone for the past couple of days. There is no sign of her. Give some wazifa to read. There was one non-Muslim that she was involved with, and I don't find her anymore. And then finally this, he says that I found her, Maulana, Jazakallah, for the wazifa you gave. But where did I find her? I found her in a bar with that non-Muslim chap. And she was also drinking. I'm telling you a true incident. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us from all the fitnas which are pouring in these times. Allah Ta'ala must remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the Muslim Ummah all over the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.